The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, Zurich Australia Limited, ABN 92000010195, AFSL 232510, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
Welcome to the Life Insurance Podcast for Ensemble. I'm your host, Ben Donald, Managing Director of Life Advice Partners and currently completing a doctorate in life insurance. My goal is simple, improving life insurance outcomes for Australians. This podcast series is all about bringing life insurance back onto the radar for advisors across the country. Each episode features real conversations with the people who live and breathe this work every day, uncovering the lessons, processes, and the stories that help advisors lift confidence, capability, and client outcomes. Whether you write two policies a year or 200, this podcast is here to help you deliver better protection, build stronger businesses, and ultimately serve more Australians. Let's jump in.
Zurich is proud to be supporting this episode. Experience Zurich and OnePath advisor portals with new and improved digital capabilities and an enhanced range of self-service functionality, helping make your business more efficient, saving you time and removing complexity. It's everything you need in one place. Partner with us today.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Life Insurance Ensemble podcast. With me today is a giant of a man, both metaphorically and physically. I'm sure he's played football and he'd be at least 6'5". Mr. Jake Roos, welcome.
Ben, thank you. Very generous of you, mate. 6'3", 6'4", with heels on.
I've seen you in those as well. Right, thanks again, because I know you've been on the the Engine Room podcast prior. So thanks again for volunteering your time, mate, especially for an area that I don't think you specialize in, but still know quite a bit about with life insurance.
Certainly a very important area.
Yeah. Yep. All right, mate. Well, always start these things with a sort of get to know you, mate. So can you take me through the business, Bob Roos and Co?
Sure, mate.
I've noticed that's not your first name.
No, the son of. So dad started at 32 years ago, I think now. So his background was merchant banking, made his way up the high points of that and, recession-proof industry, not so recession-proof. Sacked, rehired, and then decided I'm not going to work for anyone anymore and went back to university and did his accounting degree. So, and then started the practice initially with accounting and tax. And early days, 2 years in, kind of recognized the need to add financial services. Then accountants being, some of the most trusted professions and the people to probably advise the best. He started the practice 32 years ago and, I've been there about 27 years now, so it's grown to around staff of about 25, including our contracted offshore staff, and we're in the area of basically four areas of advice: accounting, tax, financial planning, and lending. And within that financial planning, obviously, holistically, it's where the insurance lies, right?
Yep.
So that's a little bit of the history.
Is he still there?
No, he retired.
So. Right. Okay. So he got fired, started again, then you joined, bang, fired again.
Yeah, he was fired again. see that?
Yeah.
Time to retire.
Yeah.
No, he's been out officially for about 5 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mate, all right. So you mentioned before, so holistic financial planning, mate, and it's obviously you'd cover a lot of ground with a lot of clients.
Yeah.
Can I ask what your philosophy is and what your attitude is and what you do with life insurance?
Yeah, so again, holistic, looking at a client holistically, I think is pretty important as a financial planner. We try not to scope out. We try to look at the needs and identify all areas of where we can help them improve and create value for them. And obviously, depending on circumstances, the client, age, debt, kids, those type of things is where that insurance piece may come in. So it's a big part of the discussion, irrespective of levels of debt or age of children. It's always a consideration in our advice, fact finding, and discussions with clients.
Yeah. Can I ask, so if you've got the four divisions, how do you cross engage across those divisions? So if somebody says, right, I need some accounting advice, or somebody says specifically I need some superannuation advice, what does the process look like to explore the client's real needs?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, Matt, because we've restructured a lot and realized that probably the best people to manage the client in a multifaceted financial services firm is just the advisor. Okay, you might have CPAs that could do it, but whether they want to do it, whether they're trained to do it, whether they're more black and white. So we're positioning the client relationship with the advisor and looking to bring them into all of those services, whether it's insurance, whether it's business, key yep. man within businesses on the accounting side. So our advisors are expected to introduce and engage with non-multifaceted
yeah.
clients. So yep. if someone's just an accounting client with a small business, medium business, we're encouraging our advisors to get in front of them and be that point, that relationship to identify all those areas that they may be able to improve on and help them.
Okay. And is that the same sort of process you think for, so typically the financial planning client is, you know, 55, 60 plus. Is that the same thing with generational advice as well?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Look, again, it's just identifying where they're at in life. Behind every business, for example, there's people.
Yep.
Right. So what are their needs? What's their risk? Looking at it almost like a massive overall fact-finding situation, not just them personally. So you've got these accounting clients and business clients in the practice that we've got access to. Why aren't we actually exploring how we can help them improve and protect them?
Yep.
Because they haven't had that advice, or they may not have gone and sought that advice themselves.
Yeah. So starting off having those four sort of separate divisions and then wanting to explore the client's needs in every aspect, right? That sounds like a brilliant situation for a decent sized business. When you kicked off, and I know you've been there 27 years, so before you hit 25 staff, which is absolutely wonderful, by the way, that's great.
Thank you, mate.
Say you're at five people, right? Is that sort of, what was your attitude towards that? Was it an outsourcing component or was it?
So we've grown it in-house traditionally. So, we'll go back to the days before tele-underwriting, right? So,
1835.
Where you had to do a lot more work.
Yeah.
We've got the privileges now of tele-underwriting. We've got the privileges of tech to help us do that. So, in my opinion, no matter the size of the business, you could be a two-man show. You should be looking to apply the same process and look at where you can identify the needs and help them with their risk.
Yeah.
And not shy away from it because you don't have the resources.
Ensemble Progress is for advisors who want real momentum, not just inspiration. Find out more at ensemble.com/membership.
So is it something that you practice, again, sorry for putting you on the spot, do you practice what you preach? So those are the four divisions that you cover. If there's another area of need of the client, are you surrounding yourself with partners that do that sort of thing to refer it out to an area that you don't do work in?
Yeah, look, it's one of the hardest things is getting the insurance, for example, across the line.
Yeah.
Okay, so a resource gap is the challenge there. So how do you actually then, you might have advised them, you might have sold it, you might have, you know, made them aware of that need for them to do that, but then it's getting it across the line. As we all know, underwriting, it's difficult. It's never clean slate. So how do you then get it across the line? And I suppose utilizing other professions or professionals in the industry that are experts or just specialists in that would help, especially smaller firms.
Yep.
That instead of shying away from it because it is too resource hungry, don't not do it.
Yeah. So partner up if you're not going to do it.
Partner up. Find those experts that, you know, you can share that business relationship and that remuneration with, but at least you've got a client that is protected, right?
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing that we're doing here.
Yeah, mate, that's a really good reflection on the philosophy of sort of not shying away from the fact that you don't necessarily do it. But if you're not going to do it, admit it and refer it on to somebody that is going to do it, because ultimately the client is the key goal here. So make sure that they're looked after.
Yeah, and if you've got the right relationship in place with where it's not a threat to your client, especially if it's a risk specialist, they're not going to kind of jump on your toes and maybe, you know, the risk of losing that client to them for other areas that you advise.
Yeah.
It's almost, you could probably liken it to almost like a mini family office situation, right, where the advisor is the person that's best positioned to manage that whole infrastructure and that whole relationship and family umbrella. Okay, but are they there? Do they have the resources and time to actually
tackle the untackle
every bit of that, or the succession, the insurance? So Yeah. I think, you know, if you can do it in-house and you've got the resources, great. If you don't, you shouldn't shy away from it.
All right. So then I don't want to lose the point, so I'll come back to tech later because you mentioned it. But so how do you do it in your business at the moment? How many advisors have you got?
So we got three advisors that are actively advising. So, and then the way we've created and restructured since Bob's left is we create pods. So we have three in a pod. So we've got an advisor, advisor associate, which is the new name for a paraplanner, right?
Or
or a PY. And your admin specialist. We also do have paraplanning outsourced, so to write the mundane stuff and get it done.
Yep.
They are the people there, the team that are responsible for managing that client and identifying those needs and doing it in-house at the moment, right? So we are currently looking at how we improve the application process. So, okay, do we have the resources and are we best positioned to get that second part across the line, or should we actually engage someone that knows what they're doing and can do it in a quicker and more efficient way?
So specifically you're talking about the insurance application there.
Anywhere, pre-underwriting, anywhere from agreement through. We identify the need, we know what they need, we talk to them about it. If they agree, right, now let's get it across the line in the best way possible. Do we have the resources? Maybe not. Let's get.
Okay. Just specifically on that point then, so pre-assessments and underwriting, what are you doing? So how do you approach it? So you've identified the client's need, you said, right, you need $1 million, whatever it is. What happens then?
Yeah, we're doing training on this at the moment.
Should we pause and come back in a couple of months?
That's right, yeah. So it's the line of questioning, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do those pre-underwriting situations and you'll get no's, and then they'll go and do the application and there's all this other stuff that they haven't come up with, right? So it's how you're asking those, you know, not specifically not closed questions. Mm. So some open questions. Hey, questioning technique's really important to try and get out of them what you need to before you can actually get the right pre-underwriting done. So I think positioning it's important. Obviously, privacy, making sure that they're comfortable with disclosure to you and knowing that it's not going to go any further and there's no judgment and all that sort of stuff, and how important it is for you to have the right protection that you know you're paying for, that you know what you're going to get paid out for if in the event of claim.
Yeah.
So I do quite a big positioning piece with the client to try and make them comfortable disclosing the things like that we need to ask them for pre-underwriting.
Yeah, okay. And if the advice that you're providing to a client is contingent on getting insurance in place, right? Let's say it's, I don't know, retail super into an SMSF, you're going to lose the insurance inside the super, so you need to set up a new policy inside the SMSF. How do you approach that? Because, you know, a lot of advisors I know get a little bit upset, and I say a little bit kindly, when an application is going to delay that process by, you know, months. What do you do there?
Yeah, look, it's there's no, I don't think there's, I haven't come across a
silver bullet,
or a perfect solution for that. Apart from just absolutely hounding whoever's setting up the self managed super fund, he's like, come on.
Yeah.
Mind you, like, self managed super funds should be able to be set up pretty quickly these days.
No, but I mean more the, so if somebody's got like $1 million of cover inside a super fund, that super fund's going to be wound down.
Yeah.
We're going to set up an SMSF.
Yep.
Have you ever come across the situation, and what do you do about it, where the SMSF establishment and the rolling over of the funds is basically stopped dead in its tracks until such time as the insurance application's done?
Yeah, I mean, you've got the chance to do partial rollovers as well.
Genius. It
could be a contribution as part of the advice normally. Partial rollovers generally would be a solution to that.
You'll roll over everything except maybe $10,000, put it in cash, and that can pay the premiums if a policy can't get put in force for whatever reason.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, you can go the other way too, like exiting a self-managed super fund and, you know, partials. It's the same principle, right? Yeah. Like it's how do you kind of achieve the goal quickly because of other people's lag or...
So are you addressing it in basically every single client engagement? You're having a conversation about life insurance?
Yes, definitely.
Because holy moly, I reckon you would be the first holistic financial advisor I've spoken to in a long time where that's the answer.
Look, we do. And even if I know the answer really is going to be they don't need it, we talk about it.
Yep.
A good example is I had a guy that we had as a financial planning client, and he was retired. He was on part-age pension, superannuation pension, and real simple guy, real knockabout bloke. And he had about $250,000 worth of life insurance still. And I kept on saying, Barry, you don't need this, mate. Like, this is starting to cost you a lot of money. You're 65 now. And he just kept on saying, look, you know, I've smoked and drank all my life. You know, I want to leave something for the wife. And, you know, I don't know how long I'll be around. So, but every year we'd have that conversation. So
yeah,
here I am assuming it's too expensive and why you don't really need it, you know. But he wanted extra for her if he went. So you can't kind of automatically assume that that it may not be a client need.
Yeah.
So by addressing it and saying, listen, one part of financial planning and financial advice is to consider your succession, your risk, what happens in the event that you can't do certain things and you've got health setbacks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where that might be and whether you need to consider that fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You're kind of putting it back on them to kind of think about those things, and they're busy. They're passing ships in the night, right? So mm-hmm. they don't get the chance to think about, okay. And you'll normally get like one partner say, I'll be fine.
Standard practice.
Yeah. And the other one go, oh, no, I'd really need some extra help. Like even though we've got no debt and the kids are out of the house now, I'm a bit short still. If you went tomorrow, you're the main breadwinner and where would that leave me? So you can't assume. You need to address it and then work it back from there.
Okay. Mate, where, without being rude, where's all this coming from? Like why, like holistic financial advisors, and again, I know that sounded quite rude, but holistic financial advisors, mate, a lot of the time everyone's focused on the superannuation. Insurance has gone through a massive rigmarole. Everyone's moving away from it. Why have you stayed the course? Like what,
well, you know, I suppose you can understand why the compliance world we've had for the last 15, 20 years.
So enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, advisors must be the most resilient.
The ones who live
in the world, right? It's just what they've gone through. And obviously, we even went through the period of where it was a potential threat or a problem if you didn't consider insurance because lawyers would be hanging around and looking at financial plans. So there's all that different levels of fear that people have been exposed to. So that's kind of probably why we scope, or a lot of advisors will scope it out and just go, no, you only wanted advice in these areas. But honestly, what are we doing it for, right? So does a client know? They come to you for financial advice.
Yep.
They don't really know what they're going to. They're nervous about being judged, even though we're not there to judge them, we're there to help them. Why wouldn't we make them aware of all the different areas that could potentially help them or improve their life, right? So it's an easy conversation when you think about it like that, you know, when you position it and you create a, we call it CAMS, creating a motivational state, right? So reposition it. So don't shy away from it thinking, okay, no one likes to pay for insurance, which is true, right? Create a motivational state for them to think about what happens in the event of. Make them discount it, right? Make them think about, okay, if this happens or something happens to you, how would I be? How would we be? Okay. If they're thinking about that and making them a more informed decision, you're putting them in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Right. It changes the relationship. You're not an insurance salesman.
Yeah.
Right. You're actually genuinely caring about their needs and making them aware of something that they didn't know about. And then you work back from there with your normal needs analysis and things like that, depending on how they're thinking about it. It also makes it a hell of a lot easier once you then advise and premiums and all that sort of stuff and make them aware of what it's going to cost them to protect that.
Yeah.
Because they're already motivated and they've already made the decisions on why they may need to do it rather than not having that conversation. And some people might take the approach as, look, we've got an insurance needs philosophy.
Yeah.
We will advise you on the perfect level of cover.
Yeah.
With premiums. If you haven't had that motivational state conversation yet, They're going to hate you.
I feel like I'm being a bit schooled here, mate, because I feel like that was me that's got the calculator. I love that, the motivation. I do it with business insurance where I say, like, walk through the scenario. You know, if your business partner falls over tomorrow, does their partner suddenly own 50% of the business? But that's, yeah, no, same sort of thing, right? Husband and wife, and you go, well, what happens if you passes?
Yeah.
What, you know, where's the next check come from?
Exactly. I've got a playbook on the cams. I'm willing to share it on the link.
Can we, Kieran, can we please grab a link to that and throw it on the podcast episode? Mm-hmm. Thanks, mate. That's really lovely, mate.
Yeah, no problem.
What else can you share then, Sissy? I'm learning quite a bit here. It's great.
I suppose tying in with that's an insurance philosophy. So, you know, there's lots of people in the industry that can take you through an exercise of developing an insurance philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, it's important so that your teams are on the same page.
Mm.
And everyone's kind of, it's a similar.
So here's a test for you then, just on that. every single staff member, do they have insurance?
In our firm?
Yeah, no. Nah. Okay. All right.
Complete honest.
Yeah. Mate, I was expecting you to lie, to be honest.
You know what? One of our advisors, you know, well, Mel, and she's, she kept, her husband's a tradie, and she kept coming to me and saying, he won't listen to me. I keep telling him he needs income insurance.
Mm.
And he just says, no, I'll be right. Like normal, tough, Aussie bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. That we all know about. And I said, well, that's because you're doing it all wrong, Mel. You're telling him what to do and what he needs to do.
Mm.
He doesn't want to listen to you and speak
about anything, let alone insurance. Sorry, Mel. Yeah.
Sorry, Mel.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daniel. I said, why don't you go and tell him a story of our client the other day that just successfully had an income insurance claim and how happy they are, and just tell him the story.
Yeah.
So she did. The next morning he woke up and he goes, you know that insurance that you've been talking about that I should get? I think we should do it.
Yeah, nice.
So it's just changed the position, right?
As you said, well, back to sort of brass tacks, create that motivational state.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not wargaming a scenario, it's taking you through somebody else's scenario. With
exactly.
His claim, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, what's your motivational state? Are there any sort of claims things that drive you from the past? I think most, from my experience, most advisors that are passionate about risk have something there that...
Yeah, definitely. Close to home too, practice what I preach. Yep. So early days, Bob and I got insurances in place and also for my wife. And, you know, Bob, when he was just about to turn 60, ended up having a quadruple bypass. So trauma,
yep.
Beautiful. You know, helped him through it, you know, gave him cash flow. So it was a really, really nice thing to witness.
Yeah.
And then in 2013, my wife suffered an autoimmune disorder, and which she was quite a career-driven woman and working big hours around the country. And she couldn't work anymore because it was a fatigue-based type of...
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Type of autoimmune disorder. And fortunately, you know, you've got trauma, TPD, you know, how's this going to go? It's autoimmune's a little bit of a, you know. Yeah. So yeah.
When you say fatigue, you go...
Yeah, so... Yeah. Trauma didn't cover it, but not a specific event. I think the only lupus, maybe the only type of trauma specific event for autoimmune,
yeah.
You know, from MS and things like that. But TPD did. So it put our family in a financial position and that we could reduce debt and do all the normal things that we advise us, why they advise you.
Yeah.
And then income insurance to go with it. So, you know.
Yeah, like the... Sorry, not the perfect storm, but the perfect result almost from that. Yeah.
Exactly. So witnessing those things, they're pretty cool to see, and it gives you motivation when you're talking with your clients about how important it is. Everyone knows that no one likes paying for the premium except for the people that are on claim, then they love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They go, thank God you convinced me to keep paying it, okay? So it's those stories that you need to tell with your clients that help kind of understand the need and why you might be asking them to consider these types of insurances.
Yeah.
Another one was, and even not so much from...
Thank you, mate. Just sorry for cutting you off, mate, but thank you for sharing. That's
yeah,
that's lovely, but yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you.
All right, she'll kill me later, but that's all right. No, I had permission.
Yeah.
And the other one is like not shying away from maybe applying or advising someone to get insurance by assuming their previous health or their health condition would prevent them from getting it.
Yep.
So we had an Olympian who had gone through an ugly divorce, and suspected bipolar type of situation, eventually ended up not being bipolar, and he had brain tumors. They were benign brain tumors. And so he had operations, and he had residual effects out of that. He ended up resetting up his life and had a bit of a mortgage. And all he wanted was to protect the mortgage, so wipe out the mortgage in the event he died for his children so they could have the net value of this new property. Yeah,
very reasonable
desire.
Yep.
And so, you know, a lot of people would automatically think, well, you've had brain surgery, your brain tumors, there's no way I can get you life insurance. You've got residual effects for these type of things. But so we tackled it, and because it was so important to him, and we got him life insurance without any exclusions.
Jesus.
So
yeah, wow.
Don't assume.
Yep.
You know, try it out.
Yep.
You talk to your underwriters, talk to your insurance companies, and find out what the chances are.
But you just spent 10 minutes telling me that you don't have the expertise for the underwriting, and then you've just told me you got a bloke with brain tumor life insurance. That's well, pretty impressive.
Thanks, mate. I'll rephrase: expertise or time.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else did it, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. All the advisors in your business, they're schooled up on the life insurance. They follow the philosophy. Not all the staff have cover, but now Mel's husband does, which is great to hear. So it's permeated through the entire business.
This might create a motivational state for them to all get cover, right, Ben? Because you know, actually, you're doing it here right now, right?
Yes, yeah.
So it is important for all of our team to have it, right?
Can you give me who is the one person in the business that should have cover?
The one,
or just give me one or two names.
A name.
Yep.
All right. Let's go, Mel.
All right, Mel, you have 1 month from listening to this. I'm going to check in on you 1 month from now.
I'm thinking of people that would be in that need, definitely easy need category. Rob?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, so Mel and Rob, you're going to be insured 1 month post this.
There you go. Ben Donald can help you.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but... Mate, so having all the advisors schooled up on life insurance within the business, your holistic practice, what's the impact to the business? Like, it's obviously making sense financially and compliance and whatnot. So talk me through that.
Yeah, look, it's a no-brainer. You do go through a bit of time and resources in getting policies in place, but still at the levels of comms that we get, it's still pretty rewarding, right? And if you've got young and premiums aren't high and so forth, arrange an advisor service fee for it.
Yep.
To get it in place, right? So price, work out what your costs are to get what resources are dragging, and what is the cost to get policies in place?
Yep.
And okay, am I being remunerated or going to be remunerated well enough from the inbuilt?
Yep.
Or do I need to charge an additional application fees or, you know, those type of things to get it across the line? So that way it negates the revenue side. Or the loss of revenue.
Yep.
But let's face it, like if you're actively advising and you're doing your job properly as an advisor and reviewing them holistically and properly every year, or if you're just life insurance specific, you're reviewing their policies properly and understanding whether they need to reduce it, whether their situation's changed and need to increase it, you know, that's not a great deal of work for the remuneration you get out of these things.
Yeah.
Right. So plus there's less drop off.
Yep.
So in my opinion, it's very rewarding if you're doing the work.
Yeah.
Right? Because you will have...
Can you, just before we... So I want to keep going, but just on that point with the upfront fee, right? Hearing it more and more in the market with all the advisors that I talk to, I'll give you my example first. I think at the time, cost to serve to set up an insurance policy for us was about $1,800.
Yep.
And if the commission was coming in less than that, then we would just charge whatever the differential, right? So we earn $1,000 in commission, we charge an $800 fee to get us to that break even. What is it in your business?
Yeah, so it's similar. Just work out the difference.
Yeah.
Right? So a cost to serve, if it's a couple, there's, you know, two applications is, you know, how much time does this generally take you, including your back and forth with doctors and, all those type of things, underwriters. But work out, okay, what am I going to get? What do we really need to charge? But it is based on the cost to serve, like you said.
That's really cool way to have the conversation with the client up the front and say, hey, the cost to the business of implementing this insurance for you, it's not easy. So we'll make sure that our minimum earn, is X, and we'll try and get as much as we can from the commissions. But if we fall short, we're going to charge a fee.
Yeah.
And your client, any pushback?
No. Think about it from a selling point too. So our normal fee is this, reposition it. So to get your application and everything done, it costs us $3,300.
Yep.
Right. But we're going to discount that by the commission we get.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep. Yeah. So if we're getting $2,000, we only need to charge you $1,300 because the insurance company's going to pay us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So again, you're putting it in you're repositioning it that they're getting something for nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's, mate, a good playbook here. Like, create the motivational state.
Yeah.
And then move to there. This is good, mate. I genuinely, when I met you the first time, I thought, I can't learn anything from this much. So it makes sense up front with the implementation, and you're able to go through those conversations with the young people straight off the bat. That's not an issue, and that's, you know, the children, the clients, or young people getting referred through.
Yeah, definitely.
And then what are you seeing with the back end? So you've got a decent size insurance portfolio, I imagine.
Yep.
Premiums are heaps of fun these days. You know, 20-30% increases across the board. Lots of fun conversations.
Oh yeah.
How are you managing that with clients?
So, interestingly, you got to have the honest conversation.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes, premiums have gone up. Let's reassess your needs.
Yep.
Right. So, you should be doing that every year anyway. Has debt come down? Have kids grown up? You've got your insurance philosophy. You've got your insurance needs calculator. Do you throw the figures into it again to see where they're at?
Mm.
You know, sometimes, and then showing them multiple scenarios. Okay, look, it's getting costly, right? Insurance is a needs versus cost benefit, right? So, let's revisit it. Where are you at? What do you think you need? We talk about it and then give them ideas of premiums if they want to reduce cover but stay covered.
Yep.
Okay. Then you're actively doing your job.
Reduce, don't cancel.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Because if you're not actively doing it, you and I know, you'll see the cancellations come through.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Yep.
Because they don't understand those options.
Mm.
They just go, can't afford it, and it's easier not to pay it.
Yep.
Especially when you're healthy.
Yeah, because there are, you know, like health insurance, you either have it or you don't. Nobody really looks at bronze versus silver or gold.
No.
Car insurance, you either insure your car, you insure your house, or you don't. And so life insurance, I guess people would have that yes or no cover rather than how much.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't think that way. We can advise them. That's our job.
Yep.
And if you're getting a trail and, you know, gone are the days of the old insurance superannuation policies, you know, where we just sat back for 20 years in a trail, right?
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Then no wonder he retired.
AMP.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, if you're actively doing it, your retention rate's going to be higher.
Yeah.
Right. Which means your book doesn't suffer.
Yeah.
And don't shy away from the fact that you're dropping the insurance premium because you're going to get less commissions. You're retaining a client more longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Retaining that revenue longer. And I guess you'd see this as much as I would, mate, is that your business valuations climb dramatically when you've got risk income in there.
Oh, yeah.
Your performance as a business as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Valuation multiples. Yeah. Mate, what about talking to clients about the premium increases and the premium changes?
Yeah.
Can't have a conversation about life insurance without talking about upfront discounts. So are you're getting, and policies getting to the 4 or 5 year mark, it's 30% out of the market. How are you approaching that?
Yeah, as in like changing and then discounting your upfront, you mean?
Well, so, you know, all the insurance companies now have got, you know, even PPS, unfortunately, they're building in these silly upfront discounts, which are creating problems for us in the sort of fourth, fifth year where a person could have an identical policy and been paying 30% less than what they would otherwise be paying.
Yep.
Right. So when that's coming up, right, you're having the conversation of, right, let's manage your premium through reductions,
mm-hmm.
but then are you also surveying the market to see if there's something better out
always.
There?
Always.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do a comparison of premiums with a lower cover, we're going to compare it to an alternative provider as well.
Yep.
Always. It's just part of practice.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got to see the situation with underwriting.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to understand what's happened since they applied. You know, have they had cancer? Have they had heart problems? You know, all the stuff that comes up in life as we grow older. But I think if you're definitely considering where it is, and it comes back to if you're servicing as well, and you've got a very good relationship with them, it's less likely that they're going to go as well for those cheaper deals because they're going to ask you. So then you've got an opportunity to match that.
Demonstrate value.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I would handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And your team's doing that across the board pretty
much. Yes. We're actually actively, like, you know, we've for the last year, we've restructured over the last 2 years. So, you know, when you've got a family business that's, you know, started by your father and then I've helped grow it, you end up with an IP problem, right, where, you know, everything's
intellectual property, everyone, just not income protection, you know?
Yeah, where everything is kind of dependent upon those key people, right?
Yeah.
So we're transferring those that type of responsibility and relationship to teams and pods.
Yeah.
So we've restructured and we've positioned the business, and over the last 12 months we've trained them in all sorts of modules, selling, you know, personal, you know, insurance.
Where are you getting this from?
So, you know, we got a lot of the stuff from business coaching ourselves. So we basically have been under a Canadian business coach by the name of Dan Martell for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of the principles we've learned in managing and restructuring our business we can apply to training our team.
Yeah, okay.
So putting a lot of training, weekly training back into our team. We operate a thing called the learn, do, review type of strategy, or learn, do, meet. So we learn 1 week, they go away, do, and then we Q&A it. Okay.
Brilliant.
Because what I find is if you're learning new modules and new things every week, you don't get to apply it long enough.
Yeah.
And you don't get to revisit it. So it gets lost. So it's been so successful that on the back of that, we've started the Advisor Accelerate Academy that we've just rolled out to the industry.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And it's more than just advice training. It's a holistic type of program that's designed to improve advice practices, whether it's insurance specialist or whatever. It's same principles that can be applied to any area. And one of the modules of that's insurance, right? And again, it comes back to the selling them CAMS method. There's lots of different little principles in there that you can kind of apply that help build a more successful advisory practice or insurance advisory practice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that advice academy, that covers every, as you say, not just advice. And I guess that dovetails perfectly into the way that you guys seem to approach clients, which is your advisor's the, I don't know, like the key account manager, whatever you want to call it, like the relationship manager.
Hold on.
And then, the accountant does the accountancy. And then,
So you've got a mortgage specialist, you've got, Hannah in my team, she's my advisor associate. I'd be lost without her.
She's a weapon, by the way.
She is.
Honestly, I completely back that statement, mate. You would be nowhere without Hannah. So.
You're 100% right. She is so good, and you've got these specialists, right?
Yeah,
they become the specialist under the advisor. So you've got a mortgage broker, the in-house. We've got insurance or advisor specialists. We've got accounting specialist, tax specialist, depending on the needs of the client.
Yeah.
And that advisor sits over the top.
Yeah, that just cross-pollination of services and delivery of service back to the client.
Spot on.
Mate, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mate, looking at we've had a couple of. Is there any chance that we're actually, Kieran? Is there any chance, and Jake? Am I allowed to do this or not? Can we get something to do with that Advisor Academy up on
certainly
the links?
Certainly, yeah. I can. I've got the course modules. It's an evergreen program.
Yeah,
people can join. There's 6, 9 month, 12 month options.
Yeah.
And beyond. It's an evergreen. You can join at any time. So I'll shoot you the links and give you some information to post up. That'd be great.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously, we'll just do a specific insurance one, mate, because that's the core of financial planning.
And you'll find that it's funny because the selling skills, right, is relational, right? So we're in an era where a transactional relationship, so with AI, the threat, all that, you know, if you come back to advice, for example, like strategic tax strategies and all that, you can do this. People can do this on their own now, right? And it's only going to get better, right?
Yeah.
So who knows where we'll be at in the insurance industry where people need to get insurance and product and that. That puts an emphasis on the relational advice. So we as an industry need to move and make sure that we are developing very, very good relationships with our clients, forming communities with our clients that they belong to, because one of the things that can never be replaced is a thing called reassurance, right? So reassurance is the most important thing. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Clients want reassurance. You get self-managed super fund clients that DIY invest. You see them once a year to do their accounting or whatever, and they say, hey, with the investments I've got, are they okay?
It just, what do you reckon?
Yeah. Sorry, can't comment. I don't advise you. But so reassurance is going to be a big part of the future, and the information overload with AI and your Copilot, your chat GPTs, your wobbles in them, right?
Yeah.
It creates this, am I sure this is the correct thing to do? So our job will change. to, and we need to focus on relational, and that's where the edge will be. This program really helps that. It really develops relational advisors, whether you're just an insurance advisor, mortgage advisor, financial advisor, whatever it be.
So basically the best piece of technology that you're ever going to have is a telephone.
Yep.
Because it's talking to the client one-to-one. That's, but on the tech, so, backing up your phone system, what do you guys use internally for your insurance or for everything, actually?
The tech, So it's interesting. I'm excited about LifeBid. Obviously, that's going to change the game. It's been a way too long, obviously.
Yeah.
With us not being able to be fed the information automatically, that's going to change the game on monitoring and reviewing clients. And I suppose we're a bit old school on it. So you got X-Plan, obviously you've got requirements compliance wise. It's very expensive software.
But I can fast forward 30 seconds.
So
X-Plan is it?
We got X-Plan there.
Yep.
We go direct. We use it as a basis. Yep. We go direct to insurers. We spend time with BDMs and understanding product, what's more suitable to different occupations. But we're pretty basic on it. We've got, insurance needs calculators we've developed on the back of our insurance philosophy.
I'm going to stop you there and say, thanks for putting that up on the website as well.
Definitely.
Kieran, cheers.
Yep. We'll share that template happily because and it's really good because those associates or PYs that are coming through, right, it helps them work it out. They've got the insurance philosophy document, then they've got the calculator.
Yeah.
Right.
Give me the facts and figures. I should be able to figure this out.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it spits out amounts that you should consider. And it's up to the advisor to have that discounted conversation with the client based on
creating a motivational state. I'm taking the cams.
You can have it.
I wish this wasn't on the recording because I want to claim it as my own. That's brilliant.
Note to self, trademark.
mate. So, and just last part, AI, anything to do with AI with.
On insurance?
Yeah. Specifically with life?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
Not yet. I think I haven't had a great lot of time to dive deep into AI related to insurance.
Yep.
I can see where it's going to be very helpful.
Yeah.
But it's moving so fast, right? And you've got wobbles in there and things that are...
I've backed right away from it. I'm just doing Copilot.
Yep.
It sits in the emails. That'll do.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're utilizing automations more than AI.
Yeah.
In processes, in managing jobs and getting client
managed. Creation, that's
yeah, that sort of stuff. Okay. Yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Mate, well, that's great. So cams, honestly, that's blown me away, mate. That's really, really lovely. It's a great way to approach it. Cams, and then the biggest thing there is that your telephone's your biggest weapon.
Yeah.
It's just get on the phone and talk to your client.
That's right.
Brilliant.
Have the relation.
Yep.
And build the manage the relationship with them, and then you've got a client for life.
Yeah. Oh, mate, this has been absolutely wonderful, mate. Thank you so much for coming on and being so open and sharing.
Oh, pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me. Really good.
Cheers.
Cheers.